This is gonna be cool.
The topics and opinions expressed on the Dudes and Beer podcast are intended for an audience of 18 and up and are solely those of the host and guest. They neither reflect the opinions or values of either the sponsors of Dudes and Beer or your mother. I mean, seriously, have you ever heard these guys? They'll talk about anything.
Whoa, hey, you think they're gonna show it?
They'll probably just blur it out.
Whoa, check it out, Beavis.
Grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer. Well, hello everybody, and welcome to Dudes and Beer. I am Chris Jordan here, your host. With me tonight on the phone is John Seymour, straight out of Las Vegas, Nevada. John is a long-time friend of mine. He was actually in our live episode from Vegas, and we promised to have him back on. We promised to talk about all kinds of stuff with John. He's one of the most interesting conversations that you'll ever have over a cup of coffee or something in your coffee. And we're going to sit back and we're going to talk about making dreams reality tonight, you know. And there's been so much negativity going on in the world. One of the things that I truly believe in is the concept of manifestation and the fact that we actively make the reality around us. So when we get back from this message from our sponsor, we will actually get into that topic with John Seymour of Seymour Films out in Las Vegas, Nevada, right after this.
You don't even have a license, Lisa.
Crazy drunk driver.
Hey, everybody. Chris Jordan, host of the Dudes and Beer podcast here. Has this ever happened to you? Tired of looking in your rearview mirror after a couple of drinks with friends or worrying about no-refusal weekends and DUI stops? Are you planning a night on the town and want an easy, safe way to get around while still having fun? Well, Fare is the ride service for you. Simply download the easy-to-use and free Fare app from the Google Play Store or iTunes Marketplace and use promo code DUDES10 every time you ride with Fare to save 10% off your ride. Have a Fare driver you liked riding with? You can not only give them a review and tip, but you can add them to your preferred drivers list on your Fare app and request them every time you ride with Fare. You can schedule rides with Fare to pick you up immediately or as far as 30 minutes to 7 days in advance, eliminating the need for last-minute calls and allowing you to pre-schedule pickups in locations other than your home city. Perfect for those traveling for business or for fun. So don't forget to stop on by and download that free Fare app and use the coupon code DUDES10 every time you ride with Fare to get 10% off your ride. That's right, don't forget, the coupon code is DUDES10. So be like Dudes and Beer, everybody. Party safe, use Fare, and drink responsibly.
And we are back. How you doing, Johnny?
Bet I'm alive. I'm doing great.
Not as bad as some, and better than most.
There may be somebody out there doing better than me.
Right, right. You know? Oh man, well it's been great to talk to you this evening. Before we got started, and you know, whenever I thought about this topic, you were one of the first people to come to my mind because you are one of the most logical people yet still passionate people that I know. You have a straight line view of logic, and hey, I'm sorry if it doesn't fit the logic, it's not going to be right. And on top of that, you're a dreamer. You're somebody who actively puts things out into the universe to make them happen and actually manifest those. And we recently did an episode about other realities, other universes, things like that. And I brought up the concept of dreams and manifestation from dreams. So whenever I thought about that tonight, with all the negativity going on from the election, I really, really believe in the power of manifestation and the fact of we change reality around us. Where do you come in on that, John?
Yeah, I mean, I, yeah, I absolutely. I mean, I think you know, a lot of, 90% of what we do in our lives is where we put ourselves in our lives. You know, it's where we view ourselves and where we view ourselves wanting to be is the majority of where we end up being. You know, I mean, we can't control things around. You know, it's funny. One of the things I always tell people, you know, I spend a lot of time with interns and young people in the film industry, and I always tell them, you know, you want to visualize where you want to be, control the things you can control, and, you know, everything else is going to happen, you know. But if you don't focus on what you can control, then you're not, then what else are you going to focus on? You can focus on things that you can't control and drive yourself crazy.
Yeah, exactly. And, it's the fact, like you said, it'll drive you crazy because you can't control everything. All you can do is truly control how you react to it.
Right.
You know, and that in and of itself is manifesting something. It puts, I guess, a buffer between you and the world and actually lets you fully control your reaction to stuff, at least in my mind. But
right, and that doesn't mean you have to be, you know, a robot.
No.
It just means that don't focus on things you can't control. You know,
yeah, well, yeah. Well, and there's been numerous teachings throughout history, philosophically, to that point. I mean, Buddha talked about it, Christ talked about it. It's been talked about just about by everybody. That you
aren't those all the same people?
Yeah, kind of.
Kidding.
Yeah,
we're not going to get on that topic. No.
Yeah. No.
Go ahead. But
yeah, it's just funny to me how I don't know. I guess society's become so disconnected that we don't. I guess maybe we don't see how we personally, how maybe our ripple from our stone interacts with the rest of the world. You know?
Yeah.
And
I think, go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say that to me is quite the issue because, you know, that begets misunderstanding. Whenever you don't understand how you impact the world, it's hard for you to understand how the world outside of yourself is impacting you.
Right. Yeah. You really have to have a really solid concept of how small and how great you are.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, to bring that into the next part, talking about manifesting dreams, talking about having a vision and making something happen, you're one of the self-made people that I know, that you've gotten where you are in your industry by tooth and grit, and fighting for it and going out and doing it, you know, that's how I learned my trade. I learned some of it in tech theater and things like that, but most of it was learned out in the field. It was learned through taking internships and working with people who saw my potential and took me under their wing. And your experience is very much the same, is it not?
Well, I less on the internship and more of the, but mostly the same. Yeah, it's learning by, you know, I tell everybody, you know, you can spend $100,000 going to film school, or you can do what I did, spend $100,000 paying for film so you could learn.
Yeah.
And so it's a very similar thing. I learned it by doing it, and
that's wisdom.
It took a lot of hard knocks along the way. You don't forget those.
No.
You forget the easy road. You don't forget the hard one.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because it is those hard roads that get us to where we are. It is those hard roads that give us the wisdom to know what projects even not to get involved with. You know, because it's very hard as someone who loves what you do to not just want to do everything. And
oh God, yeah. That was a hard one.
Yeah. Like it takes a lot to temper yourself and to be like, whoa, hold your horses. You really need to focus on this one thing and see it through, instead of going after five or six things at the same time.
Yeah, that's probably the one lesson I still struggle with, and you know, and when I say struggle with, I'm bad at. I'm tied up probably in 20 different projects right now, you know, and I'm always like, I can do it, I can do it, I can always do more, I can always do more. But I'm always of the fear, well, this is everything's such a if that I need to have as many ifs as I can so that I know that I'm always doing something. Anybody that's around me a lot knows if I'm not doing something, I'm going crazy.
Yeah.
I'm losing. Yeah. I can't.
Oh, yeah.
I can't be still.
Yeah, that's, I mean, hell, that's half the reason that I started this show was because, I started Austin Hot Mods because I was bored. Like, I had taken a 50-hour-a-week job on broadcast, and because I wasn't doing my own things, you know, I'd been self-employed for so long at that point that I was used to getting up in the morning and moving and shaking and making stuff happen for me. You know, and then suddenly I was working for someone else again, and it was like, it wasn't that it wasn't great. I loved every day of it. It was fantastic and an amazing experience, but it was definitely one of those, like, I missed, I guess the only way to put it is the hunt. I missed the action of doing something that was my own, that I was creating on the daily.
Right.
And crazily asked my wife if I could start a pedal modification business on the side. And she said yes. And it was the same thing with my music, and it was the same thing with two podcasts. You know, it's just, yeah, it's hard to not be busy doing what you love when you love what you do.
Yeah, I mean, people that aren't around me look at me and go, you're all over the place. People that are around me all the time go, leave him alone. He's insane when he's not that busy.
Yeah.
You can't be around him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I definitely go through madness when I am not busy. And there's a difference between going on vacation and not being busy.
Right.
I rarely go on vacation, but it's frequent that I'll go to Houston for a weekend and just spend time with my family and not really work. You know, like maybe my brother and I, or Billy and I, or the three of us will record an episode of Dudes and Beer. But that's really us sitting around and shooting the shit and drinking some beers, you know?
Right.
That's not work.
Right. And I tell people, like, I get bored when I sleep for 7 hours. You know, they're like, why don't you get more sleep? And I'm like, I get really bored. And, yeah. You know, that to me, that's a good thing. And it's like, you know, if I'm not tired, why am I sleeping? And then, you know, that's, yeah, I want to enjoy my life. Well, who knows how long I'm going to be here, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And you got to, because, I mean, you've definitely, I know, just like I have had the soul draining job. You've had the job that was just like utterly horrible and you dreaded going to it every day. And I remember literally being pulled out of that, by self-employment. It was just a point of necessity. I came home from my friend Eugene Cantu's wedding, from episode one of Dudes and Beer. He hadn't been on since, you bastard. But yeah, you know, it was one of those, I came home from a wedding and they said, oh, sorry, we don't have you in budget anymore. And it had happened to me before after working at a place in Maine right after I moved up to live with you. And at that point, I'd had a few clients, I had a few clubs in town under my belt, and it was like, you know, I've got rent paid for, and it's the beginning of a month, so, damn, I guess if I'm going to do anything, this is how I have to do it. And we scraped by for quite a while, but I ended up starting my business and being fully self-employed just about. I mean, I had like a little part-time job as a crosswalk guard during the day, and that was great. You know, that helped pay a few bills and stuff, but other than that, anything that I did was involved with the audio video industry. Like, I was master control operator at a local TV station, you know, stuff like that. So, to me, that's not work. That's what I love doing.
Right.
So, I have a different point of view on it. Sure, what I do takes a lot of effort. And it takes a lot of knowledge, and it's mentally wearing. And even tonight, after I got off work, you were like, hey, you know, what time do you want to do it? And I was like, 8. But I was literally just sitting on my couch watching the first RoboCop, you know? And I was like, I've got to decompress right now. Like, I can't go turn a piece of gear on right now without, like, removing the bad things that happened with pieces of gear today. Like... I can't bring that juju into my studio, you know,
right.
And it really does take that gearing down and that understanding of your own personal space and your own personal time and separating that from projects. But what was it that made you decide to start Seymour Films and start doing stuff? What was it that made you make that? Because I know when we lived in Maine together, you were working actively on the transition. You were actively putting pieces into place whenever I moved home, and then we lost touch for a few years and have reunited, and you've got Seymour Films going on full on. What was it that really brought you to start that and make that leap into doing your own thing all the time?
Yeah, I mean, I was doing marketing. Well, I was doing a lot of stuff. You know, I had the music stuff that we were doing when you were there, New England Sound, and a little bit of the marketing stuff and things like that. And I started doing, and I was also running the Social Network of Maine, which you probably remember that.
Yep.
And I just happened upon a person that was doing film and wanted me to do marketing for him and help him get something together. They were just starting out, and they kept trying to get me to come to work in the film industry. Of course, the idea was interesting to me. Sorry, it's against my house. Idea was interesting to me, so I started doing work with them, and then the next thing I knew, I was pretty much working for them full time, and they kept trying to urge me to get into the film industry, and I finally did. I mean, I finally just was. We worked out a deal. They basically bought out my marketing company, and I went to work for them. And next thing I knew, I was in it. So I kind of backed into it.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of ended up happening upon you. Much like my self-employment, where it was just like, oh, hey, here you go. Pushed right. into the like, deep end.
Yeah, they were like, you're going to be really good at this. Now do it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, by the time, and it, that fell through very quickly, but by the time they had, by the time that it all happened, I had pretty much cemented myself in the industry. And
yeah.
There I was.
So. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, yeah. It's interesting because when I'm a big believer, not necessarily in fate, but opportunities and the fact that opportunities present themselves to everybody. It's whether or not you've learned to see the opportunity. It's whether or not you've learned to put the pieces together and realize that something is happening and kind of see that moment and actively decide to be a part of it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like it's kind of like the concept of love. Love is not an accident. Love is an action. It's
right.
A willing choice. So, you know, it's the same thing with passion. You're deciding to do something. You're deciding to fervently believe in something when you're passionate.
Absolutely. I mean, you create your own reality to some degree. You create your own reality as far as that is. I mean, you decide actions or things are put in front of you and you decide how you want to react to them.
Yeah.
I mean, that goes back to positivity and negativity. It means like, you know, things are going to happen and they're going to be placed in front of you and you're going to decide, you get to decide how you want to react to them. You know, you could throw your arms up in the air and be like, well, this was the worst possible president we could have. I'm just moving the hell out of the country.
Oh, it's all right.
You know, I'm done with this. And then it's like, you're like, yep, yep, you could absolutely do that. That could be your angle, but you can also just like realize that I can almost guarantee the world's not going to end. As bad as it may suck. You know?
Yeah. It may not be the ideal.
It may be the worst possible scenario that we could have imagined. But guess what? We're going to get through it because we're not all going to go jump off a cliff.
Well, you know? Well, and the thing is, it ain't happened yet. And I tell my wife all the time, because it's something that I had to get past in my mentality. It was something in my college years that really stymied me a lot. And I would get into this circular mode of thinking that was just, it ended up being pretty unhealthy in life. But, I projected things out so far, that I would either come to a point of indecision or to a point of negative decision. Because I would extenuate the circumstances of the decision so far in my head that I would think of it negatively at that point. And it's like I was when things turned out negative, it was utterly because I had put that into it. I had utterly decided that that was going to be a negative experience, that this was not going to be good. And I made that happen.
Essentially, you created the negative energy, or the negative energy that created the negative the whole thing.
I don't know. I guess a lot of people don't follow dreams, I suppose, because of circumstance. You know, some people end up missing their opportunity or making other decisions that don't allow them to take the opportunity when it does arise.
Yeah, and this may not please a bunch of people. My personal belief on it is people make most decisions. You know, I spend a lot of time in sales.
Yeah.
People make the most important decisions in their life based on fear.
Yes. Yes.
Fear that if they do something, they're going to hurt somebody else or themselves, or fear that they're not going to be successful, which, you know, to me is ridiculous. The idea of success is ridiculous because you create what that idea is, but, you know,
Go into that a little bit, because I'm a big believer in that. I'd like to hear what you think about that.
Well, I mean, you're talking about the believing what success is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, success is, you know, it's relative. What is successful to you? Because I can go and look at what I've completed in the film industry, and it's way beyond whatever I thought I would ever accomplish in the film industry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I didn't set out to do all this stuff, you know, and I keep resetting what I want to accomplish, but my success isn't any of that. My success is that I enjoy every day of my life. You know,
exactly.
That's my success. But I could put things on myself like, well, I've never won awards or you know, I don't get, you know, my films don't get picked up at festivals, and I put all those things on them. And then I'm not happy with what I got. My success is about me being happy. That's where I find my success. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'd love to win an award. That'd be cool. You know, I'm not gonna be like, I don't.
Oh,
care.
Sure.
I don't need
your stinking award. Give me an award.
Yeah. Just mail it. Here's the address. You know, it's. But to me, at the same time, my success is about me being happy, and that's all that really matters. And I think people are oftentimes afraid of that. And then some people are afraid of, well, what if I am successful? What will that bring?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I tell people, that's kind of ridiculous.
Why
are you worried about being successful?
Well, yeah. But I think that's what stymies a lot of people, though, is the concept of it's a different realm of responsibility. You know, it's just like people that, and you weren't one of these, I'm not one of these, that just went to work and did the bare minimum, you know?
Yeah.
They just basically showed up and occupied some space. I can't do that. Like,
no.
I gotta be busy. I gotta be doing something.
I've never been real big at that.
Yeah, I've never been real big at the standing around part. I'm at work. I'm here to work. Let's get work done. Let's get it going. that's how I view it. Let's get it and get it done. And hey, maybe we can even get it done early because we're that good. But not everybody views things that way. And I think, yes, people are afraid, number one, because with success, with that success comes a newfound level of responsibility. And I saw this especially whenever it happened to me, because you're not going to sleep till 11 o'clock every day, unless your job is till like 3 a.m. every morning. Then you might sleep till 11 o'clock.
Then I don't even do that.
But
I think that goes back to a lot of loving what I do. I don't want to sleep.
Yeah. I wish I could adopt that, you know, Galileo concept of sleeping like 3 hours at a time.
Well, I definitely wouldn't put myself in his category, but that's what I do. I sleep. I sleep three to 4 hours a night. That's what I do, and I always, and don't sleep during the day. I literally get 3 or 4 hours a day. Now I may look like I'm 60 because of it, but I feel really great.
Yeah.
I'm relatively not tired. The only time I'm tired is when I'm doing something that I have to do that's not involved with what I do for work.
Yeah.
As long as I'm doing film work, I'm good with that. I was actually talking this weekend. I was on set with an actress, and we had a really long day, and she was wiped out. Fantastic job. Great, great work. Completely wiped out.
Yep.
And she's like, I have to go to sleep. And I was like, okay, have a good night. And she's, what are you doing? I was like, I'll get to sleep in a few hours.
Yeah.
And she's like, how much are you sleeping? I'm like, 3 hours. And she's like, oh, that's not healthy. And I'm like, oh, no, it's fantastic. Because I'm so excited about starting to work again tomorrow that I can't sleep.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, I think, I wish that for everybody. I wish everybody had that.
And, you know, my wife, Amy, I remember seeing her when she first started being full-time with theater. And she left her full-time day job working in an office and was, just going to do theater full-time. And I was like, you're gonna learn real quick that you still got to be up at like 8 a.m. You know, you still got to have that go-get-em attitude and get after it. But, she was like, wow. It really didn't dawn on me exactly. She was like, how much you do every day. She was like, I would literally leave the office and wonder what it was that you did all day long. And you're either editing video or editing a website or, she's like, you get entirely so much done during the day. It's absolutely amazing. And it is because I get lost in what I'm doing. You know, I'll set myself a project for the day and literally just engross myself in it. And at the end of the day, it's done. And tomorrow I'll do another project, And
there are many times I look up and I go, oh my God, it's 2 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I worked.
I forgot to eat dinner.
Yeah. Like oh God, that happens to me all the time. Like, hey, thank God for Amy, dude. Cause otherwise it'd be like 8, 9 o'clock at night and I'd forget to eat. Like she literally brings me food into the studio. Like she,
oh good.
She's like, here, put this in your body.
rub it in. I don't have an Amy. Go ahead, rub it in.
Yeah, that's all right. You'll find an Amy. You got to make time for an Amy. That's the trick.
What's that?
I said you got to make time for the Amy. You got to make time for an Amy. I had that problem at one point, and then it was like, you know what though, like. It just like any project, and that's what I don't understand about like modern relationships, like people, I don't know. I think that the divorce rate is what it is because most people get into things with a really poor understanding of what a relationship is. And a relationship is very much the same as following your passion. You have to take care of it. You have to make time for that, People are like, oh, my band, I was in a band, but we never made it. Okay, well, how much did you practice every week? Oh, we got together once a week, jammed
whatever
for about, jammed for about 3 hours and drank while we did it, you know?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And we were together for about a year and wrote about 3 songs, and then we broke up, you know? And it's like, but if you were really into it, if you really wanted to do that, you would spend every amount of spare time that you had doing that. You know?
Yeah, I always laugh when people talk about really successful people and they're like, they're so lucky and this thing. I'm like, okay, let's go back and look at this person's life.
Yeah.
And what they did.
Yeah.
And then talk about how they're lucky to be successful.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that's just it. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work. And, you know, one of the things that Amy was just recently talking about, actually, was the concept of successful. She was busy coaching a comedy troupe last night, and she was talking to them about, you know, what is your concept of success? You know, like you can't expect to be on SNL, but that doesn't mean that you aren't a successful comedian. It doesn't mean that you aren't good, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And like you said, you really define your level of success. Like I have a couple months out of the year where literally my pay industry, what I do on the daily, corporate AV and stuff, where it's like, you know, ghost town tumbleweeds, pretty much across the country. Like you ain't going to find a whole lot of work in the industry, because everything slows down to a crawl during the beginning of summer and the Christmas season. That's just how it is. And right. I'm very happy to have other projects like the podcasts and stuff like that to keep me going and to keep my spirits up. Cause otherwise I would drive myself crazy. I don't know what I'd do. I'd probably like end up like The Shining or something like that, you know? Like talking to paintings on the wall with an empty bottle of scotch that I think I'm still drinking.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's, you know, that's largely why I've really, really taken a love to writing, because I can do that anytime, anywhere, as much as I want.
Yeah. And, you know, I need to get back into writing. I used to write a lot. In college, I wrote a lot of poetry for a long time, and I don't know. One day, it's like it just stopped coming out. Like it just stopped happening.
Yeah, oh, that happened.
And it was like, wow, you know. And I've written a couple spurious things here and there over the many years, but I have a half finished book that I need to finish. And those are projects that are still on the table, you know?
Right.
not to mention the other projects of life that are going on, like growing in my wife's body. Once that happens, projects take on a whole new level. And, you know, it's like...
a full-time project.
Well, but they don't have to stop, though, is the funny thing. Your family becomes the project. You know, I see it a lot with my brother and with my buddy Billy, with them and their kids, where there is an amount of fun between them. There is like an utter amount of love, and they build projects for their kids. You know, like they're both uber into Halloween, stuff like that. My brother this year apparently won like some realty contest, like second place for like this 7.5 foot tall pumpkin man with like a net of pumpkin heads. It was crazy, dude. It was like, it was out of control. It looked like Pumpkinhead coming out of the woods next to his house. It was so creepy. It was awesome. And they just make all this stuff all the time. You know, I remember Billy, when his last daughter Autumn was born, it got really, he had just started scarydad.com, his website, building Halloween projects and stuff. And he started making like small wooden toys for his daughter, you know, like old school wooden toys and stuff. And, you know, just became passionate about it. And it's absolutely great when you get to Just follow that in life. And when you learn to recognize what you love doing, no matter what it is, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 100% behind that. As far as the kid thing goes, we talked about this before we got on thing. It's like,
yeah,
I don't know how people do it. I mean, I don't. I get it baffles me. But you're dead on about how you have to go about it.
Yeah.
You know, how to make it. I don't know.
Yeah.
In theory, I think you're dead on. In practice, you're on your own.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see if we sink or swim.
I can get you some numbers. If you've lost them, there's a few people that should be able to answer those questions.
It's definitely a both feet first situation in life.
Like I said, I'm so happy for you, man.
We are incredibly happy and proud.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But
and the fact you want to name him John, that's amazing.
Yeah. You know, Jonathan Seymour Jordan.
I can't think of a better name, unless it was just Seymour Jordan.
Okay.
Do not label that kid for that first name like that.
That's not happening. That's not happening. Oh, we're saddling him with a totally different first name. I'm not dropping it. So far as the sonogram shown, it's a boy. But we don't know for sure. We aren't certain. Things are still really early on. We do have a genetic panel coming back on the baby.
Yeah.
So at that point, we'll know a little bit more information for solid. And we'll definitely announce it. So, but yeah, it's one of those, you know, once again, dreams realized, you know, there was a long time, lifelong search for someone like Amy that A, would put up with me, and B, actually support the crazy things that go on in my head. I tell her all the time that like she is by far the most supportive and understanding wife I have ever known. Amongst any of my friends, I know some cool wives, but it's like, dude, I don't know any that would let their husband like start numerous businesses and websites and, you know, podcasts and stuff like that, that are just absolutely insane, you know, where it gets to the fact that, she's doing just as many projects. Like she has a podcast now and that's where she is tonight. You know, we're both very lucky and we say it all the time to actively get to do what we love all the time.
We
love making money. Money's great, but we do many projects simply cool. because we love doing them. I don't know. I guess I kind of feel for people who don't understand how to live passionately in life. And I think it's really something that you have to not only experience, but you have to kind of experience and understand it at an almost early age. You know, you have to kind of meet somebody who is doing that. And then kind of have the concept of, oh wow, I could, like, had somebody told me that I'd be doing what I was doing in technical theater, like for a living and making really good money at it at the age of 40, I probably would have started my career long ago.
Exactly.
And
well, you know, go ahead.
No, go.
I was gonna say, it's never too late to start. And I always, you know, I get a lot of people all the time, and I don't know where their misinformation comes from, because it's absolutely not true, that assume that I, like, have some sort of wealth.
Yeah.
Because I just, like, I'm going to do exactly what I want to do. And they're like, well, you know, you've got, and I've had people tell me, well, you've got the means to do that. And I'm like, well, on one hand it is, because if I need to get something done, what I will do is go get a job and raise the money and do it. If I want to make a film, you know, or a TV shows, I'll go put the work in to get the money together.
Yeah.
But for the most part, to me, it's like I decide what I want to do, and I do it. That's and it. I don't care about the money. That's exactly. not why I'm doing it. If I just wanted to make money, I could make a lot more money with a lot less work. Because yeah. I've done that, and yeah. I hated it.
Well, and I definitely yeah. didn't always live with the mountain is there to climb attitude in my life.
Yeah.
But I will tell you yeah. this, since the day that I started living that mountain is there to climb attitude, my life has been totally different. Things are 180 yeah. degrees from where they were. It's the fact that, yes, life is a challenge. And if you don't wake up looking for the challenge every day, like Ferris Bueller says, you just might miss it, folks.
yeah.
absolutely. You got to be looking for it. You got to be actively out on the hunt, prowling for the opportunities and making things happen. I'm a big believer of if you don't put it down on paper, it's going to be really hard to manifest. Like literally take a calendar and put a date on it. Like by this date, I will have this. And once you right. have that, it's kind of there scaring you in the face on the daily, and it makes you accountable and responsible.
Yeah.
which is what's necessary.
And the other piece of that is, you know, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Set your goals. Do what you want to do. And if you don't do what you want to do, but you're trying to do what you want to do, that's where your idea of success should lie.
That's right.
You know, it's like you were talking about, you can't set your goal as I want to be on Saturday Night Live. You have to set your goal as I'm going to do everything I can to be the best comedian and they'll want me on Saturday Night Live.
Exactly. Exactly. That's you know? Just it. You've got to put your work into it. The universe is like a slinky. It'll sit there yeah. in your hand and have all the potential in the world until you actually push it. Yeah. Once you push it, the slinky starts slinking and it starts doing what it does. But until the point that yeah. you actually put some potential energy behind it,
yeah.
not a whole lot's going to happen.
And you might do yourself well by learning about how slinkies work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know,
because if you try to eat them, they don't have a lot of potential.
No, that's true. That's true.
You know what you know what I mean?
Yeah.
the work and the knowledge has to be there. You've got to put your work into it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just it. You've got to do your homework. You've got to make sure that you've put yourself in the place to make that and to make your dreams a reality. And on that note, folks, that's pretty much going to be it for this episode of the Dudes and Beer podcast. Thanks so much for joining us tonight, John.
You bet, brother.
We need to get back together again soon. I know I'll be in Vegas in January, so we'll definitely hook up then. But before then, you need to come back and be a guest again, and we'll have some crazy topics
Absolutely.
For you. So until next time, folks, I am Chris Jordan, your host. That is John Seymour of Seymour Films. Go check him out. Real quick, John, let them know where they can find you.
SeymourFilms.com.
All right, fantastic. Go there, check out the new projects by Seymour Films. Till next time, everybody, if you can't be good at it. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dudes and Beer podcast. To listen to our live audio streams, tune in at dudesandbeer.com or spreaker.com/dudesandbeer. You can find our episodes on soundcloud.com as well as the Google Play and iTunes market. You can also find us on YouTube, Stitcher, and your favorite podcast service. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the Revolution Digital Group family of podcasts. Thanks for listening, everybody, and until next time, drink responsibly.